As I come to talk to you today, one of the big things we're going to do today is I'm going to share a little bit of my faith journey and my story with you. And as we set the stage for that, we've talked about something that's very important today. We say Christmas is for giving, and today we're going to be talking about giving, and we're going to be talking about that the next few weeks. It's a very important part of what we do as people of faith is in our response, in our giving. And so we're going to take this opportunity to talk about it. I've discovered something over the years in the life of most churches. And the first thing is that a lot of people that go to church think that that the pastor and the church ask for your money way too often. It seems like they say that every time you come to church, we're asking for your money. And if we're really asking for your money, then probably we've taken the wrong approach anyway, because you'll hear me say this over and over again, that when we talk about financial support, when we talk about that, I don't want you to give to the church because we need the money. I don't want you to give to the church because you think God needs the money. When you give, you should give because God first gave all we have to us. It's God's gift to us, so what we do is always in response to God. So I want to make that very clear at the beginning as we talk together today. The other thing that I've noticed over the years is that, and I've got my Bible right here, the one I use the most. You can tell it's got things lined, underlined, and it's pretty well starting to fall apart on the outside. But one of the things, when we talk about the Bible, I meet a lot of people in churches that are very clear about what the Bible believes and how we have to do all of these things. They'll even argue about some of them with you. You know, we have some disagreements from church to church exactly about how to interpret the Bible. And yet at the same time, many of us turn to the passages that say that we should give a tithe back to God, and we never seem to want to talk about that scripture. It seems to somehow get missed and overlooked. Now, we'll talk to you about a lot of other tough issues on what you should do and how you should wear your hair and how you should dress and should women speak in church and all those kind of things. But somehow we always fail to address this part. So that's what we're going to do. But we're going to do that by way of a faith journey, my faith journey. Today's scripture that I chose is the calling of Abram. In the story of the calling of Abram, Abram is called to leave everything he knows, to just pick up and leave the friends he's known, the land he grew up in. He's called and to just do it and move. And he does. And I've always wondered, you know, why did Abram just say, okay, I can do that? And finally it hit me one day. The reason that Abram is so ready just to pick up and to move from the land he's known all his life to where God is calling him to go is because he understands and knows this principle we're talking about today. And that is that everything is God's. And so this land that I've lived on is God's, and God is calling me to a new place, to live in a new spot, a new location, and that's going to be God's place too. And if it's God's place, then it's going to be okay. And so today we come and we're going to talk to you about the importance of this. And I mentioned that word tithe a minute ago. It's important that we talk about that understanding of what a tithe is. You know, in the Bible, it says that that's a beginning point for us, is to give 10% to God, and not 10% of after we filtered it all through, but 10%, in fact, the best 10%, the beginning, from the very beginning. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today, but I want to start with you by talking about my own faith journey and what has helped me grow to the point that I believe in this understanding of giving, that everything is God. And what I'm doing is giving back to God. Many of you know part of my story already. I wasn't raised in the church. And so I sometimes think that's a real disadvantage. For you that have been raised in the church, you've been taught from such a young age to respond to God. You've been taught about where God's love is. You've seen people around you that are great examples, haven't you? People of faith that not only talk about sharing their whole life with you. You see them as a person of prayer, so you want to become a person of prayer. You see them as a person involved in Bible study, so you want to be involved in Bible study or worship or whatever it might be. So you want to be involved and you want to follow that example, and so it's a good example. But the flip side of that is this, that sometimes being raised in the church can be a disadvantage. Because sometimes we think you're taught these things by osmosis. That somehow you just know that you're supposed to give, or you know that you're supposed to read the Bible, or you know you're supposed to pray. And often we come to church for years and we don't really try to grow spiritually. And so I want to say that there could be an advantage or a disadvantage to being raised in the church. And one of the things that I recognize is that we're often willing as church people to do many things to grow spiritually. In fact, if I would ask you, most of you would raise your hand. If I would say, if I told you it'd help you to grow spiritually to get a better prayer life, many of you would say, I'm going to work on that. If I told you it'd help you grow spiritually to be in a Bible study, many of you are already doing that, but you might say, geez, I would try that. I want to be in a Bible study to grow spiritually. I think that's a good idea. I might say to you, you ought to be in a base group or a small group, and that's going to help you grow. Oh, sign me up. And then I'm going to say to you, you need to give 10% of your income to grow spiritually. And you're going to say, I'll get back to you on that one. Because we are willing to give so much of our life for spiritual growth except when it comes to this. And so sometimes it's an advantage and a disadvantage. When I grew up, I would go to church occasionally. I can remember going with friends. I can remember going a few Easters, especially to Market Street United Methodist Church in Logansport. Probably the first time I ever went, it was still Market Street Methodist, I imagine. And I can remember going and being there and listening to the sermons, and they didn't rub off on me too well. The Nazarenes did a little bit better job because they said if I went to church there, I could play on the softball team. So I did that in high school so I could play on their softball team. But none of those things seemed to rub off on me. And I can remember in high school deciding somewhere along the line that I was probably an agnostic. Now, I don't know if I knew what an agnostic was, but I knew I wasn't an atheist, because I just couldn't say, oh, I don't believe there's a God, but I just felt like, geez, I don't, how do you know? I mean, this God thing out there, how do you know about that? And so I just pretty well stayed away from church except during softball season. And I would filter back in and out over my life, but that was about it. And finally, when I was in the service, I had been injured in the service, and I was flown into a military hospital in San Antonio, Texas. At the time, during Vietnam, it was the second largest military hospital in the world. Walter Reed was the only one bigger. And it was huge. And I was there for 6 weeks recovering. And during that time, for some reason, I'm still not too sure why, but one of the chaplains started to come and visit me. And it was a Catholic priest. And I remember thinking at the time, now, you know, I don't know that I would have put much religious down when I went into the military, but I grew up in Logansport. At Logansport, you're either Catholic or something else. And I knew I was something else, so I'm sure I would have put something else under religious on my card. But a Catholic priest started to come. And I'm not sure why, but in our conversations, we began to talk about things, and all of a sudden, I felt stirrings within me. And so it's in those moments that I finally began to realize that maybe this God thing, there's something about this God thing that's real and true and honest. And I began to search. And being the kind of person I am, as soon as I could get into a wheelchair, I made my way down to the hospital library, which was quite large, and I was looking for a book that would prove to me the existence of God. Because that's what I needed. I was an academic person. I wanted to find the book that when I started reading chapter 1, it would explain to me A, B, and C. And when I got to the final chapter, it would say, and that proves there's a God. And I could go, that's what I've been looking for, that book. Never found that book. Because even the Bible's not that kind of book. The Bible's a book of faith. I never could find that book. And so I kind of, messed with going to church the rest of the time I was in the military. Went to Catholic Mass even a few times, thinking maybe I'd missed the boat in Logansport growing up and I should have been a Catholic. But I didn't settle in. I never really got that relationship thing going with God. And then something happened to me a few years after that. I got married. Does anybody ever notice that getting married changes your life? Did anybody notice that besides me? Yeah. And you know, mostly for the good, but it does change your life. And because of that, we had actually another thing happened to us a little bit, and that was something else often happens when you're married, not always, but often happens. We had children. And then your life changes again, doesn't it? I mean, when you have children, doesn't your perspective on life change? And so we had children, and when our son was about 3 and a half, maybe, I don't know for sure, we were talking one day, and we lived in a big city, 12 mile, and we were living, you know, we were, you're always, you know, the nice thing about living in 12 mile, you're always close to everything. Now, they don't have much, but you're always close to it. And anyway, some people in the church had asked us to come to church, because they all knew Sherry, she grew up there, her dad owned the feed mill, all that stuff, and so finally, we kept talking about it. And we talked about it for our children, not for us, because we probably thought it was too late for us. And we started talking about it for our children. And so we decided that, you know, the chances of raising a child outside the church, and then when they turn 18, they say one day, well, now that I'm 18, I'm going to go to church. That doesn't happen very often, does it? But we decided that it was best to raise our children in the church, even if we weren't sure we believed, so they could make an informed decision when they became 18. And so we started going to church. And of course, that's where later on we accepted Christ, where we became involved, where the call to ministry in my life came. But I'm not here to talk about any of that. I'm here to talk about our growth in understanding stewardship and God's giving to us and our response to that. And part of your stewardship is not just financial, it's with your time and your energy, and Linda hit that really well last week in talking about that. Where do you spend your time, not just your money? Where do you spend your energy, not just your money? And so early on, we hadn't been there very long, and the pastor came to us, and first of all, I have to tell you, we love this pastor. Now, he couldn't preach a lick, and so maybe where I learned from, I'm not sure, but we loved him. And when we've had two children, and when Amanda was born, we were just ready to join the church. And so he baptized all four of us at once. And he ended up baptizing Emily before we left that church. And that was wonderful for us. And so when he came to us and said, would you be evangelism chair to me? It's hard to tell him no. But I said, if Sherry is willing, then we will be the evangelism chairpersons. Because Sherry and I like to do things together in ministry. And so we became the evangelism chairpersons, and in 12 Mile, that's not too difficult a job because you have a first-time visitor about once every 12 years. So it wasn't too tough of a job, but we worked at that job. And then about another year later, he asked us if we would lead a Bible study. And the Bible study, some of you may have been involved in it if you've been United Methodist long. It was called Genesis to Revelation. It was a 6-year Bible study. We didn't realize that when we said yes, and we never did make the 6 years. But one of the things as we started teaching that Bible study together was our thirst for God deepened. Isn't that the way it happens when you grow with God? You know, because you're going to hear me say over and over and over again, as long as I'm pastor here, financial support of the church is not an economic issue. It's a spiritual one. I want to guarantee you that's the truth. It is not an economic issue. It's a spiritual issue. And when you grow, you want more. When you grow in Bible study, you want to read it more. When you grow because your involvement in a small group, you want more involvement. When you grow because you're participating in worship, you want more involvement. And when you understand generosity and giving back to God what was God's to begin with, you want to do it more. And that was the way it worked in that Bible study. And so we decided about that time, Sherry brought this to my attention, which she's very good at, bringing things to my attention. And she said, you know, we're evangelism co-chairs, and we're leading Bible study. Don't you think we ought to give to the church on a regular basis? And I said, I hadn't thought about that. I mean, I do put my $5 in whenever I'm here. But I hadn't thought about the idea of making a commitment in my giving. And so we talked about it, and we made that commitment to begin with. And I probably, after much cajoling and her twisting my arm, I probably said, yeah, let's go with $10 a week. I mean, I was really one to work hard at. Because I wasn't sure. I didn't understand this understanding of everything being God's and the understanding of the importance of giving it back to God. And so we started. That's the way we started on our faith journey in giving. And, you know, I would tell you something, that it doesn't matter how much you make. Moving towards tithing is always a difficult decision. And that's why I say it's truly a spiritual one. So Sherry kept pushing and prodding, and we finally made it up to giving 10% of our income to the church. I'm sure that we would have done it eventually if I was totally the one doing it. It just would have taken a lot longer. Because Sherry had more faith than I did. Because I just wasn't convinced that if I gave 10% of my money to the church, I'd have enough to live on. I really wasn't sure. And I'm not even talking about playing golf. I'm not talking about vacation. I'm talking about groceries. I wasn't sure. But it was an amazing thing to discover that when we gave back to God that first 10%, that 10% off the top that was already God's anyway, how blessed we were and how we continued to grow on our spiritual journey. And so we began to do that, and we've done that consistently. And I want to tell you something. It's simpler to do this when you're a pastor, because I have my 10% taken out of my check before I ever see it. Talk about first fruits going back to God, like the Bible said. Mine is definitely the first. It's right in there in the bank immediately. I give her right back. And I think it's so important, though, to have that understanding and that attitude of giving, that God's already given it to me, so I'm going to give it back to God. It's like when I see my paycheck, I just automatically take the 10% for the year and just subtract it and don't even think I'm going to ever have it, because it's God's. And that's where it goes. It goes right back to God, and that's a spiritual growth. And now we've grown to the point in our life where we tithe and beyond. We start with the tithe. And when the youth pastor fund came up, I wrote a check for $500. Well, not really. I wrote 10 checks for $50 because I didn't have that much disposable income. But I committed that $50 every pay period to make sure we could do that. And something comes up for missions and we write a check or we throw some cash in. Quite often we throw cash in. Well, it's, you know, because we don't care if anybody knows we gave it. So if we got cash in our pocket, we throw the cash in. But that was our starting point. And we feel spiritually enriched by giving. It's just so important in what we do to give back to God, because that God has blessed us. So I don't want you ever to think about giving to the church because we need the money. I know we've made that plea before. Every church has always made it, haven't they? They usually stand up and they say, "Oh my goodness, we need your money." And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. We've done it. But what I want to say to you is, don't approach your idea of giving over the long term to that. Approach it in the understanding you're not giving to help the church meet the budget, but you're giving in a response to God's love. I can remember when I decided to go into the ministry, and Sherry and I moved from where we were living to the north side of Chicago when I went to Northwestern, and I was making, and I don't mind sharing these things with you because I think we need to be more honest about these things. I was making, I can't remember, somewhere between $75,000 and $78,000 a year in 1988, which was pretty good 1988 money, if I remember right. And we were really good young people in those days because we had really saved absolutely nothing. We had really done a good job of saving nothing. We had remodeled the house and done some things, but we had probably $2,000 in our savings account, and I left to go to seminary. I was very fortunate because I had a full scholarship, didn't have to worry about that, but we went off to seminary, and I went from making that $75,000 to $78,000 to making $6,000 a year. That was a little bit of a pay cut. And what we realized was we had this little discussion that lasted about 30 seconds. Can we still afford to tithe? And the real answer is, can we afford not to tithe? If we're going to continue to grow spiritually and grow in the depths of our relationship with God, we said yes. And let me tell you, that big $600 a year is a lot of money when you're making $6,000. It does make a difference. But that was our decision, and that's what we've done ever since in our spiritual journey. We've continued to give to God to the tithe and beyond the tithe, because we think it's important. And so we're here talking to you about that this Christmas season, because Ed mentioned in his video that we have a lot of dreams for the future of our church. But all of those dreams are predicated on the fact that we are growing, not just numerically, but spiritually. And so Bible study grows, and Sunday school grows, and small groups grow. And all of those things happen, as well as worship attendance. But to go where God's calling us to go, we have to continue to grow spiritually when it comes to our budget and our finances. And so we're coming to you today to say Christmas is the season for giving. It's a great reminder that God gave the ultimate gift for us. And for us to examine our hearts and to begin to look these next couple weeks and to say, what might God be calling me to do right now? We're going to pass out a chart for you. It's actually going to be mailed to you, I think. And some will be available here during the third week of the sermon, right after the third. And it's going to show you if you make this much money a year and you give this much a week, about what your percent is. That's just for you, for nobody else, but for you. Because I know to think about giving 10% can be difficult. But what we're asking you to do is, if it's about a spiritual growth journey, then to take a look at where you're at and see if you can't grow. Maybe you give 2% when you look at it. Well, maybe you can make it to 4% next year. To make it to respond, not because we need the money, but because you're responding to what God's already given you. You'll have an opportunity to take a look at that. We're also going to pass out another chart that kind of shows you how you can step up in faith. And Ed talked about that. We're going to ask you to step up in faith because this is an issue about faith. No matter what we say, it is an issue about faith. And so we're going to ask you to do that. We're going to ask you to consider what God is calling you to do. Now, you know, it's funny, but I can talk about almost anything in the life of the church, and I can step all over your toes, and you're fine with it. But sometimes when we begin to talk about money, then all of a sudden we're getting very personal. So I could tell you, you know, don't drink, don't gamble. That doesn't bother you. But if I tell you to consider digging a little deeper and looking at your relationship with God and to grow spiritually through giving, it becomes a challenge. And I understand that because it was a big challenge for me personally, and that's what I want you to know today. It wasn't an easy journey to go from giving $5 a week, or actually $5 whenever I was there, not $5 a week, to thinking that I'm going to look at it totally differently. And I want you to pray about that in the next few weeks to see what God might be calling you to do. I know it's here. You're probably saying, yeah, well, it's easy for you. You're a pastor. No, it's not. I'm a person. You know, and I want to control my money as much as anybody, and I want to think it's all my money and none of it's God's money too. So it's a big faith step that we're asking you to consider. And we're going to continue to talk about that in different ways the next few weeks. Next week, we're going to be sharing stories from the community of faith on how people have given. Some will be from here, some may be more from the bigger community of faith. But we just want you to have insight into a different way of thinking about giving to God, the joy of giving, and what it can mean in your life. And so I'm going to encourage you to stay on this journey with us the next few weeks and to see where God is not only taking me, but where God is taking all of us as the community of faith. And thanks be to God for that. Amen.